2, Missouri River Fisheries Update. Gino, you on board with us?
Thanks, John. That's not Gino. Mike Smith.
No, actually, Mike Smith's going to be giving the presentation today.
Great.
So, Area Fishery Supervisor from Fort Pierce. So, take it away, Mike.
All right, so Chris is going to pull up our presentation here. So I'm Mike Smith, Area Fishery Supervisor for the Upper Missouri River. So we have in our area here, we have Lakes Oahe and Sharp, and then about 12 counties either side of the river. And we're split into two offices. We've got the office in Mobridge with one wildlife biologist, and I've got our office here in Fort Pierre with four wildlife biologists, two resource biologists, and myself. So fairly good-sized crew, but got thrown a big curveball this year with COVID, and we didn't get our fleet of interns, so that kind of threw a wrench into things like it does for everyone. But we were still able to complete a good chunk of our work and enough to provide a good update here for you guys. So we'll start off here with Lake Oahe. Obviously the biggest lake here in South Dakota, primarily a walleye, chinook salmon, predator fishery. Definitely the flagship here on the Missouri River. So we'll go into some of this information here. Chris, if you want to go on to the next slide here. We were able to complete probably two of our most important surveys with this cold water prairie fish survey and the gillnet survey. We were not able to complete our creel survey that we usually do every year. So I don't have a lot of information on that. If you have questions on that, I can provide some anecdotal evidence and some information on that. But we weren't able to do that survey. So we'll jump into the cold water prairie fish survey here on Lake Oahe. So we have two species of cold water prairie fish on Lake Oahe. We've got rainbow smelt, which is there on the top, and then we've got Cisco or lake herring there on the bottom. And so these really provide the bottom of the food web for our cold water predators in Lake Oahe, specifically our chinook salmon and our walleye. Very important to creating a good-sized fishery. So the next slide there, this is what we use for our survey. It's a hydroacoustic survey, and what we basically use is a really souped-up sonar unit. So what this allows us to do is to run transects across the lake, and then this unit combined with software allow us to differentiate between individual fish. We can measure them down to the millimeter. And so, Chris, if you click through, there's three arrows here. This is actually a false bottom, so this is a pretty powerful unit. So this, we see an echo on the bottom here, kind of like you'd see with a Vexlar unit or a fish flasher through the ice. This green line, this is the actual bottom here at about 15 meters. And then this kind of static right here, these are actually the fish. And you can see they're kind of stacked up on a line there. That's where the thermocline develops. So above that, we have warmer water, and below that, we have that colder water. And so we do this survey towards the end of the summer when that thermocline moves up a little bit and allows us to get a good picture there. So next slide. Compare this data, and we verify it with this big net right here. This is a deep water gill net. This thing is about a little over 100 meters long and about 30 feet tall. It's a really big net, and it's difficult to use, but what this allows us to do is to catch fish that are right around the thermocline, and then we measure those fish, and we're able to develop cutoffs between the various species and sizes. So when we pair those sizes, we can, for instance, we can say that a smelt is anything between 50 millimeters and 120 millimeters. When we pair that with that hydroacoustics data, we can then count the individual fish of different sizes and different species. So this next slide here is the actual data. Now, we've been doing this survey for almost 30 years now, but we have had improved technology and improved methodology here. So really, only the last 6 years are kind of comparable. Beyond that, it gets a little bit hairy. So what we've got here on the y-axis are going up and down is the estimate of smelt in millions, and then our years are on that x-axis there on the bottom. And so all the way at the right there, that's 2020. So you can see we are above that six-year average. Really good to see that we had some increases, probably a lot of that due to some of the water levels we had last year, some rising water in the spring. Also great to see, and I didn't break it down in this because it gets to be a little bit cumbersome on a graph. Good to see we had a lot of age zero smelt, so we've got good reproduction going on, a lot of prey fish out there for our predators in the system. Next slide, Chris. So this is the Oahu Gillnet survey. This is done in August, and this is primarily the number one way we get our fish data on these big reservoirs. What this is we have 80-foot standard gillnets. Deploy about 81 of those in Lake Oahe, up and down the lake in different areas. And then we take all those fish, we measure them. We take otoliths or the ear bones from the walleye to be able to age those fish. So a lot of information comes from this gillnet survey. Next slide. So this is what a gillnet looks like. If you can picture, it almost looks like a volleyball net out there in the water. It's suspended below the surface. Typically we run these things in about 60 feet of water or shallower. Set them overnight, come back the next day, we process those fish and then move on to a new location. So catch per unit effort, this is how we kind of keep track of the abundance of walleye in the system. So on the left side there, the y-axis is the number of fish we caught per net, and this is an average. And then we've got 4 years there on the bottom, 17, 18, 19, and 20. So similar to the rainbows or the hydroacoustic survey, we changed methodologies a few years ago to be more of a North American standard, so we're more comparable to other states. So we have a four-year average with that. We're working on continuing to build that up. And so what you can see for 2020, lake-wide on Lake Oahe, we're above that four-year average with pretty good size distribution. You know, a lot of fish in that stocked 15-inch range, so that's 10 to 15 inches. Really good chunk of fish in 15 to 20 inch. That's what kind of where anglers really start harvesting fish. There's no minimum on Lake Oahe, but 15 inches really is kind of a self-imposed minimum. And then we have that blue bar. That's a good, another good chunk of fish greater than 20 inches. And on the next slide here, I broke that down into lower and upper Oahe, so you can see some differences here. If you remember, for those of you that have been on the commission for a while, if you remember back to 2011, we lost essentially every fish over 20 inches in Lake Oahe with the flood. There was no food out there. Those fish, all of them within a year, died. We lost those from the system. We have a really good rebound here on Lake Oahe over the past couple of years. Upper Oahe has been a lot more stable. Hasn't fluctuated as much, and that's just because the majority of that crayfish loss was felt in that lower end. So this was really good to see this year that we had a good jump in lower Lake Oahe, and like I said, we didn't do a creel, but anecdotally, we had a lot of pressure on lower Lake Oahe. People were coming from all over the country to fish for those walleye, almost to the days in the early 90s, early 2000s, where we had football-shaped walleye again on Oahe. Next slide. So this is a graph that shows walleye growth. So on the left, that's the length in millimeters. We can just ignore that. Look all the way to the right. That's what it is in inches. It's a lot easier for us to understand. And on the bottom there, we have an age. So if we look at that yellow bar, that's the 10-year average. So what this is really showing us that, in general, on average, a 2-year-old fish is right at 10 inches. A 3.5-year-old, 4-year-old fish is at 15 inches, and it takes all the way up to about 6 years to get to a 20-inch fish. That's on average. And this black line, this is what we saw in 2020. So we're tracking right where we need to be based on that long-term average. Our younger fish are actually growing faster than average by a little bit. But by the time they get to be those older age fish, we're tracking right along with that long-term trend, which this is good to see. Fish are growing at a pretty good rate, and it's taking, on average, about 6 years for a fish to get to that 20-plus inch range. Next one. So here's just the quick and dirty summary of Oahe. A few slides here just to summarize it up. So our cold water prey fish, we're above that 5-year, 6-year average. We'd expect that to continue if we have favorable water conditions this year. Lake Oahe is favored by the Corps in the annual plan for rising water in the spring, which is essential for a good smelt spawn. So we're hoping that continues. Average walleye abundance, again, we didn't do our creel survey, so we didn't get a lot of the data we used to determine catch and harvest and sizes of fish harvested, but anecdotally, fish were in really good shape, and the abundance was right about that average. Condition was excellent. I didn't put that graph up there because that one's a little bit cumbersome too, but in general, walleye condition on Lake Oahe is excellent. Like I said, we have those football-shaped fish. Really good to see our condition rebound after the flood of 2011. So on to Lake Sharp. We don't do that cold water hydroacoustic survey on Sharp because we don't have a whole lot of cold water habitat. The prey fish for Lake Sharp is gizzard shad, warm water prey fish. And in all honesty, we really have never had much of a problem with shad numbers as long as we don't have really cold water. So prey is always abundant on Lake Sharp. So just like Lake Oahe, here's our catch per unit effort graph, or our abundance graph. So again, number of fish per net on the left, our years on the right. Similar story, while we only have 4 years, we switched to that national standard set of nets, so our data from earlier, our past 20 years of data really isn't comparable. But you can see we had a big jump this year on Lake Oahe, our Lake Sharp, specifically in our 15 to 20 inch fish. And that is those are the meat and potatoes of Lake Sharp. It takes a long, long time for a fish to get to 20 inches in Lake Sharp. But we can put out it's basically a walleye factory for fish in that 15 to 20 inch range. So really good to see that big chunk of fish in that range this year in our survey. Condition bumps around a little bit on Lake Sharp, but still, we've never in the past 10 years here on this graph, we've never been below 70, really good relative weights. So relative weight, that's on the left. I should have explained that a little better on the Oahe one. This is just a measure of a fish's plumpness, so how fat it is based on how long it is. We're still kind of scratching our heads on this one. I don't know why that we had that big jump from 2019 to 2020, but the fish on Lake Sharp, the condition is excellent, extremely excellent across all categories. We've had a great shad year, so likely those fish had a buffet out there, were growing pretty quick, but good to see that our relative weights or the condition of those fish really increased from 19 to 20. Here's that same kind of growth chart for Lake Sharp. You can see the black one is that 10-year average. So on average, a 10-inch fish on Lake Sharp, they hit that after the first year of life, hit that 15 inches around age 3. Then you can see it kind of plateaus. And the reason we have that plateau is with the gizzard shad prey base, there's a lot of food out there from about June through September, and then those shads start to die off. So walleye pretty much put on all of their growth in a six-month window, and then they don't really have much to eat for the rest of the year. So when those fish get to be at that right around that 15-inch range, their growth kind of plateaus. And our survey this year follows right along with that, so not a lot to be concerned about there with walleye growth. We're right on track with where we typically are with Lake Sharp. So summary slides here for Lake Sharp. Again, just quick and dirty, a few slides here. Our walleye abundance was above average. We saw a good jump on Lake Sharp in 2020. Walleye condition at a 10-year high. So again, we're still trying to put together some of our other data from some surveys to figure out what's going on there, but great to see nice big fat walleye on Lake Sharp. And that's about all I have. Again, a lot of our information with our catch, harvest, and stuff, we weren't able to get this year because we didn't do creel surveys, but I've got some anecdotal things I can share. So if there's any questions, I'll be happy to take those.
Great presentation, Mike. Nice job. Any questions or comments for Mike? I had a couple, actually, for you. When we do the gillnet surveys, I would guess that there's probably, those are all mortality fish. There's no catch and release there.
Commissioner Chair, yeah, that's correct. The gillnet surveys, those fish are sacrificed, and the reason we do that is so we can pull those ear bones out of those walleye, and that's how we get that age and growth information. We're doing this survey in August, so even down at those deeper depths, when we pull it up, a lot of those fish are already dead. The majority of those fish are already dead, but yeah, it is a sacrificial survey to allow us to get that age and growth data.
And then on your chart, you showed, 10-year growth to get to a 20-inch walleye or whatever. Everybody's looking for 30 and above. How long does it take to get a walleye at that 30-inch mark?
Mr. Chair, that's a difficult one to kind of gauge. We don't get a lot of those, especially on Lake Sharp. We rarely would ever see a fish that big. even it's pretty rare even on Oahu. So I would even hate to hazard a guess. We just don't have enough data to put out there. A lot of it would depend on the prey availability that's out there, but I guess I could be confident in saying that a fish that's 30 inches is probably one that's over 10 years old. But again, that's just a guess. We just don't have a lot of data points to base that off of.
Yeah, same with like a 10-inch perch. Well, how many years does it take to get to have a 10-inch perch? Are they 3 years old or are they four?
I'm not sure with the perch. We don't do a whole lot with perch here. Out of these two offices, we've got some perch lakes, but as far as growth on perch, I wouldn't even be able to hazard any guess on that because I'm not as familiar with perch growth, but it would definitely be a couple of years.
Thank you. Any other questions for Mike? That was a great presentation. Certainly appreciate it.
Good job, Mike.